usually it's easier when that happens. It's easier to prepare. It's easy. You know where you're going. And all of a sudden, it was like the Lord just threw the brakes on this week, and I haven't had peace of continuing in Romans 12 at all. And I found myself looking at it going, okay, Lord, remind me how we got here. How did we get to this point in the teaching? What brought us here? And I started looking back through some of my notes and thinking about different messages. And in the end of June, beginning of July, somewhere in that area, I just really felt like, as a body, we had come to that place of God has done that work in each one of us. We know who we are in Christ. This is what all the teaching has been about in the last 5 years, from the very foundation of the very foundational doctrines of our faith and justification and adoption and regeneration and sanctification and what it is to be redeemed. And all of these things had come to this point where at a certain point you've got to stop being internal and you've got to know who you are in Christ and you've got to reach out. You've got to become the expression of it. And felt like we had come to that point. I felt like the Lord was saying, now's the time. And if you remember, there were a couple services where I announced, just God had put it on my heart, and I'd been through it for the last year of looking at Celebrate Recovery. And what happened after I announced that, you know, I felt like the Lord was taking us into Celebrate Recovery, kind of took me by surprise. It was, boy, did the flesh come out. And it kind of got ugly. It kind of went, it's like, wow, I thought we were past this. And that's when we went into it. If you remember, I shared an excerpt out of that book that just had a description of spiritual warfare. And the spiritual warfare, there's the biggest battle that we have is against our own flesh. The me in me that wants to be God. That's our biggest problem. And some of us, we get to that point where, okay, that battle becomes a little, and we've got that under control a little bit better because we know ourselves a little better and get healed and some of the things that happen. And when we now Celebrate Recovery, it was like everybody went, arr! At each other, because everybody's got their ideas about recovery type ministry and all that stuff. And I sat back going, wow, this is interesting. And went through, started in this teaching really that it's been spiritual warfare. And I was kind of surprised because the Lord didn't take me the direction that I thought He would. He had us start focusing on the unity in the body. And if you remember, I started asking the question, do you have a purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? Prayerfully, after the redemptive gift teaching, you have a little better idea what your purpose is. Do you know that you belong to Him? You know what I mean? It's this road from slavery to sonship. Do you still feel like a slave to all of it? And you're wandering around out in the wilderness, or are you starting to grab a hold of it and apply some of this stuff to your life and come to that place where you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God, and it doesn't matter. Nobody can change that. That's between you and God. And there's a security that comes in that. There's a confidence that comes in that. There's a humility that comes in that. And it just, we went through the whole teaching of the redemptive gifts. We started off, spiritual warfare started off with knowing your enemy. I think we were in 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles 20 with Hezekiah. Went in and taught several weeks on what it means to submit and how important that is within the body of Christ. To submit to one another in the fear of God. And that word submit means to have a voluntary attitude of giving in. Voluntary. Just, it's your initial response. It's that disposition that just goes, I know this person, I love this person, and you just submit to it rather than defend yourself. Being able to submit just because you know that's what God says, and it's that voluntary attitude of giving in, and that is key. The voluntary part is key. A voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, taking responsibility, and helping carry the burden. And then went into the redemptive gifts of prophet, servant, teacher, exhorter, giver, ruler, and mercy. And that was a cool teaching. That one really is, I don't know, I hope everybody got a little something out of that. And I find myself continuing in Romans 12 now, and all of a sudden, Last week we're looking at brotherly love, where we begin to view one another in the same way that you would your fleshly brother or sister, knowing that there's nothing, no matter how offended you get, nothing else, there's no denying that that's your brother. And the Lord wants us to have that same heart. There is no just separating. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. No, we're members one of another. You can't choose to be offended and just cut that relationship off. It's there. It's there just as much as my brother Tom is a sharp, just as much as I am. In the blood of Christ, we're those kind of brothers and sisters, and we need to view that. There is no choice. There is no offense. And I couldn't go any further. I looked this week, it's like, I can't go any further. And everywhere I looked, one of the main principles, I realized there are some people here this morning that we've got some new visitors and we've got some people that have come over the last few months. You'll hear me say the phrase all the time, laying down the soul. But as a pastor and watching what I deal with week after week after week and day after day and meeting after meeting, it's the one thing that nobody seems to get and do. And it's the one thing that is the key to all of it. If we don't learn what it means to lay down the soul, we're done. We're just playing church at that point. And I don't mean that mean or sarcastic or nothing. If we don't understand what it means to lay down the soul and trust Christ in that and lay down your mind, will, and emotions for one another and for different people that are in your life, if we don't learn what it means to lay down the soul, we'll never become the expression of the Father's love. Never. You can't do both. You can't walk around in your mind, will, and emotions and your judgments and your junk and be the expression of the Father's love. Cannot do both. And so I just want to go through the basics of laying down your soul. What does that mean this morning? Because if we're not applying that, what's the use of continuing? Do you know what I mean? What's the use of continuing and deeper teaching and all the stuff? And it's been great. I love to teach. I love to study. I love the revelation of God. But if we're not applying what He gave to us first, then I got no business wanting more. If I can't apply laying down the soul to my life, I got no business seeking a revelation in somewhere else in the Word. I got to know what it means to die to self. I got to get my mind, will, and emotions out of the way. So I'm just going to go back through the basics of that this morning and what it means to lay down the soul. I say it enough, but I realize it's been a while since I actually just, what does that mean? Let's see if this works. Helps if you turn it on. John 15, 12 through 17. This is the last night of Jesus' life. He's announced a new covenant. He's washed their feet. He's told them that the betrayer is at the table. All of these things build up through John 13 and 14. He tells them that he's going away and he's going to prepare a place for them so that they can be where he is. And all of this discussion, I think he's just got them all rattled. And then he announces this in John 15. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. This is my authoritative prescription for your lives. As my disciple, as his disciples," Jesus is saying, "as my disciples, this is my authoritative prescription for your life. This is my commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love than this has no one, that anyone should lay down his soul for his friends." What's your soul? Mind, will, and emotions. So, my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, I've got to lay those down for Joe. Not to Joe, but for him, on his behalf. Okay? My thoughts about Joe. Whether it be about his personality, his looks, whatever it is, doesn't matter. How he treats me, his attitude towards me, any of my thoughts, any of my feelings, how he makes me feel, good or bad, and we're not discussing right or wrong. It's not about, if Joe's being mean to me, I'm not wrong in thinking, my thoughts are not wrong in thinking, well, he's mean, it makes me mad when he treats me like that. Is it right? If he's being mean, we all know what that feels like, right? It's not about my thoughts being right or wrong, or my judgments being right or wrong. It's about me not having the right to judge him in the first place. It comes down about letting Jesus be the Lord of my life. Letting him lead the way. So it doesn't matter how he makes me feel. Doesn't matter what I think about him. Doesn't matter what my will is for him. Am I willing to lay that down? And that goes with anybody. Are we willing to lay down our souls? Am I willing to lay it down for my friends? Greater love than this has no one, that anyone should lay down his soul for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. If you're obedient, remember last week you looked at 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. It said, having purified your souls through the obedience of the truth, through the Spirit, into brotherly love, love one another fervently. Okay, into brotherly love, which is what we talked about last week of just understanding and having that, the fondness for one another just as a sibling would. And into love. And I explained last week, if I've got, Eric came up here, nice punch, wasn't it? Anybody that was here? It was like everybody went, I had people come after, I wanted to go up and punch him when he did that. Thank you all for defending me. But it was, I had asked him to do that, and he did it, it was just right. It was, there was a nice little pop to it and got everybody's attention. But if my brother, Tom, he was playing my brother, if he comes here and he offends me, there's no matter what I do, I have this brotherly love for my brother. We came from the same place. We have the same father. We were formed in the same womb. There is a connection there with him that no matter what I do, I can't deny it. I can get offended. I can ignore him. I can stop talking to him. I can say it all I want, that he's no longer my brother. But the fact is, I cannot get rid of that brotherly affection that's there. I can't deny that he's my brother, no matter what. Okay? When he hits me, now I'm offended. He hurt my feelings. He hurt my arm. And it was a little sore for a couple days, just so you know. Now I've got the offense. The conflict is in me. Because the offense is at conflict with the brotherly love that I have for him. Okay? That's the conflict. It's not between us, it's in me. There's where the conflict is taking place, because I've chosen to be offended at him, but I cannot deny that he's my brother. I can't do anything about him being my brother. It is that it is that it is. But I can do something about being offended. I can lay down my soul. I can lay down my thoughts about why he did it or why he shouldn't have done it. I can lay that down. I can lay down the hurt feelings over the whole thing, and I can turn it and be more focused about him. What is he so offended or upset about? What have I done to him that's caused him to that point where he would physically hurt me? I can lay those things down. I can lay down my will of wanting to hit him back. I can lay down all of that stuff, but I can't do anything about the brotherly affection. That's there, it's there, it's there, it's there, and I can't take that away. That's what the Lord wants us to do with one another. That's how he wants us to view one another. He wants us to come into that place of brotherly love, where the only choice we have in this conflict that goes on between us is laying down those offenses. That's the only choice we have. That's laying down the soul. It says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And I love this verse. I no longer call you slaves. For the slave does not know what his Lord does. But I called you friends because all things which I heard from my Father, I made known to you. We've been talking about going from slave to sonship. This is part of that process. If we're obedient to the command of laying down the soul and truly learning how to love one another, he no longer calls us slaves. I'm not a slave to it. I'm obedient to it. And the reason I am, I'm no longer a slave, he calls me a friend because I'm obedient to it. As soon as I start obeying it, why? And he says, I no longer call you, for the slave does not know what the Lord does. But I called you friends because all things which I heard from my Father, I made known to you. He's describing what he did, which was laying down his soul. He was fully man. He could have been offended at Peter denying him. He could have been offended at all these other things throughout his walk. He could have been offended or angry with all of them, but he continued to lay down his soul. And what he did is in laying down the soul, I lay down my mind, will, and emotions. Let's pick on Travis for a minute. I lay down my mind, will, and emotions about Travis. I go to the Father in prayer. I've got to know how I feel about it. I got to get real. Okay? I told somebody, I got a little upset the other day at somebody, and I told God in prayer, I'd just like to beat their head through the concrete. Sorry. I'm human, and I found out just how human I was, because I was so mad that day, but I got real with God. And up until that point, I had been struggling. I had been really struggling. But you talk about peace, because I finally just got it out of me. Lord, I just want to beat his head through the concrete. And when I did, and I knew it was wrong. I know I'm not supposed to feel that way, but it was in me, wasn't it? And doesn't he examine my heart and try the reins? Doesn't he know what's going on inside of me? So why not just be real with him? The peace that came over me when I just got real about it. When I said, Lord, I just want to drive his head. I just want to beat his head through the concrete. But Lord, I know that's just me. So Lord, I lay it down to you because I want your heart for this situation. I want your heart for them. Man, there's such a peace that comes from that. But if I walk around holding on to that kind of anger, what happens? I got that conflict going on inside of me. And it's not hurting the other person. It's hurting me. I'm the one that begins to take it out on my wife. I'm the one that begins to take, not that I would beat her head through the concrete or anything. She hits back. But you know what I mean? It begins to come out in your temperament and in your attitude and the things that are going on. And I get all this stuff on me and all this anger built up in me. And I can't help but leak out to the people that I love. So I just got real with God. Here it is. This is what I'd like to do. I mean, it got real. I'm yelling it. I'm mad. And I just let it all out to God. Better him than the person. But I had to get real. How did I feel about it? So if I get mad at Travis, and he's not the one that I wanted to beat up or anything. So if I'm upset, if there's anything going on between me and Travis, I've got to be able to search my heart and how do I really feel? What are my thoughts? How does it make me feel? What is my will for our relationship? I've got to be able to take ownership of what's going on in my heart and take that to the Lord in prayer. I got no business talking to him about it. None. This is the conflict that's going on inside of me. He may not have a clue because I'm really good at hiding it. Aren't we? We don't want people to know how we really feel. We walk around with this conflict going on inside of us and we wonder why we just can't find peace. So in that conflict, if I'm upset with him, I have a responsibility. This is being obedient to the commandment, is laying down my soul. And I've got to go to the Lord and I've got to tell him, I've got to be open and honest about it. Lord, this is what I think about this. This is how I feel about this. And this is my will for the situation. And then I've got to humble myself and realize, but Lord, that's just me. And it's not about it being right or wrong. That's still me in the flesh. And if there's any value in anything that I'm laying down to you right now, you'll hand it back to me. But Lord, I'm giving it all to you. Here's all my anger. Here's all my frustration. Here's all my stuff. I give it to you. And Lord, I want your heart. And now I got to be quiet. Now I got to listen. Now I got to know. If I really want God's will for Travis, then I need to know what he's saying to me about Travis. I want to be the expression of God's love. All the stuff going on inside of me isn't going to get me anywhere. I announced Celebrate Recovery a few months ago. And what I got was everybody's reaction, and I can't see very, very few, could I honestly say, that I felt in my spirit really prayed about it before they responded in any way. There was just a whole bunch of response going on. Where was the laying down of the soul? I felt like it happened again, maybe a little bit better, but I announced a couple weeks ago the homeless man that I met out here. Again, I think it was a whole bunch of reaction. Did anybody really pray? And my heart just cries out, are we really applying what God's been teaching us? Do we just continue to respond to circumstances in our life? Maybe it's in the workplace. Maybe it's at your home. Maybe it's in relationships with your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it is. Are we really applying one of the most valuable things? Are we really learning how to love somebody by laying down our soul? Lord, this is how the homeless make me feel. Some of them scare me. I love them and I want to help them, but Lord, this just freaks me out a little bit. It's okay. It's okay. But it's not okay to keep that. It's not okay to allow that to start driving you in fear and start causing you to say things and do things that will discourage other people that are around you. It's not okay. Those things have got to be laid down in prayer. And then when you come together and it begins to be discussed, Now everybody's prayed about it. Everybody's found the heart of the Father, the heart of the Lord for that situation that He has chosen to impart to them. He's going to give Julie a piece. He's going to give Charles a piece. He's going to give, him. Man, I had Travis. He's going to give him a portion of it. And when we come together and we have grace and allow each person to share it, now we begin to see the heart of the Father through the body, not just one person. Everybody's opinions are fine. I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but they're flesh if it's just your opinion. They're flesh. And it's got no place. You can't love people that way. Man has tried it for centuries. It's got us nowhere. The world just keeps getting worse, doesn't it? I no longer call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his Lord does. But I called you friends, because all the things which I heard from my Father, I made known to you. Jesus is describing to them, I have laid down my soul, and everything I've shared to you is what the Father shared with me, because I lay down my soul. This is what He's been doing. You have not chosen me, but I chose you out and planted you, that you should go and should bear fruit, and your fruit remain, and whatever you should ask the Father in my name, He may give you. I hear it all the time. I don't know how to pray God's will. It's because you haven't laid yours down yet. And it's not a matter of thinking it. It's not just a matter of saying, I want to do God's will. No, you got to figure out what's going on in you, get real and honest with God about it, and you've got to verbalize it to Him. Your thoughts are real. He has given you a good brain. He has given you feelings. We just don't know what to do with them. We just get all freaked out. It's not okay to just say, I want to do God's will. If you do, then lay yours down. Figure out what your will is, take ownership of it, and go to the Lord. And even if that means, I'm going to beat His head through the concrete! Okay, but at least you got it out, right? Lord, I know this is what I want to do, but I can't do it. This is what I want to do, but I can't do it, Lord. Get this away from me. And He goes, oh, it's about time you lay that down. Now, let me share with you my will for that person. Now I find the heart of the Father. But we can't do it if we're not willing to lay ours down. Whatever you should ask the Father in my name. So we close our prayers in Jesus' name. It's not what it's saying. That whatever you should ask the Father in my name, in my character, in my identity, in the same way my character has been to lay down my soul that I might find the love of the Father for you, and I've expressed that to you, and in that I no longer call you slaves. Okay, I'm calling you my friend because I'm making known to you this is exactly what I do. I'm laying down my soul and I've made it known to you, the heart of the Father, for you. And it says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. If you start laying your soul down and find the character and nature of Christ that's in you, and you begin asking the Father from that place, not from the soul, your prayers will be answered. Your whole perspective will change on everything. Everything changes if you're willing to lay down your soul. He gives you His heart. Now you know the heart of Christ, and when you go to the Father, it's in purity. The heart is pure then. And you go without an agenda, anything else. Lord, I lay all this down, and I want to know what Your will is for the situation. Lord, how does this situation... Anybody ever ask Jesus how it makes Him feel? Ooh, that's dangerous praying right there. That is dangerous praying right there. How does it make the Lord feel? How does it make the Lord feel when we stand up here and worship? How does it make the Lord feel when you're singing along with the song and your brain's three blocks away? Anybody ever ask Him how it makes Him feel? Ooh, got quiet. We've got to get past how the worship music makes us feel first. Lord, I didn't like that song. I know you couldn't have liked that one, Jesus, because that just... Oh. Did you hear all the chords that Pastor Mike missed? Lord, I would have entered in and worshipped you today, but that guy couldn't get a grip on that guitar for nothing. You know what I'm saying? this is what we do. I realize I'm being a little sarcastic, but did anybody have any of those thoughts even close to that today? Don't raise your hand. We do that, though. It's human nature. It's okay. I couldn't stop the thought of wanting to beat somebody's head through the concrete. I couldn't control that thought. It was there. I could have held it back and not told anybody. You are all wondering now, I wonder if it was me. You know what I mean? I could have hid it. But it wouldn't have done me any good. It wouldn't have done me any good. It wouldn't have done anybody any good for me to hide that. If you're shocked because I had that thought, then you really haven't got that close to me yet. Because I have thoughts like that occasionally. I'm human. I'm intense. I'm passionate. I have feelings. And I'm not afraid of them. It's life. Therein is the life. It's being able to experience life and not be afraid of how it makes you feel. Here it is. But I found a safe place to go with it. His name is Jesus. And he knows my struggle. I can go to him and say, Lord, this is how I feel. I'm not... It's real. The way has been made that we can get real with God and not have to face his judgment. His grace is sufficient. Jesus is standing there saying, Lord, Father, forgive Mike for what he just said. I got it. And he's that buffer in between me and the Father. He's that buffer. And if I'll just lay it all down, he says, now, you don't have to take vengeance on that person because I got them. I've got them. And I know what's best for you, and I know what's best for them. And I got this situation. Now that you've laid it down to me, I've got it. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. And all of a sudden, I'm at peace because I don't have to worry about it. But I had to get real about it. You said what to God? Yeah. When I'll find that place of the character and nature of Christ, when I'm willing to lay down my soul and I find His heart, and when I approach the Father in that heart, there is nothing withheld from me. There is nothing withheld from you. If you're willing to lay down your soul and find the heart of Christ, when you come, you now come in the character, in the name of Jesus Christ. You come in His character and nature. You come as Son. And He's well pleased with that Son. And the Father pours out and the Father moves on His behalf because He's pleased, because it's pure, because it's right. Then we see prayers answered. Then our faith is built. All of these things start having effect. But I've got to be obedient to laying down the soul or I never get anywhere. And what it does is it gets me to that point where I wonder, God, are you even real? I pray, but nothing ever happens the way I say it should happen. Really? These things I command you, that you love one another. This is loving one another. This is the only way to love one another. To truly love one another. I don't care what anybody's past is in here. I don't care what you did this morning on the way to church. I'm praising God you're here. Anybody have a rough time getting to church this morning? Anybody yell at their kids? It was an amazingly peaceful morning in our house. But I've had Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning where you're going, Faith! Hunter! Jenny! Ah! Stop! Shut up! Anybody ever say that on Sunday morning? Just shut up! Stop talking! Kids are ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra! Shut up! Lord, I want to beat their butt! Now we got to learn to get real with God. So that we can love one another. 1 John 3:16. By this we have known the love of God. Because that one, Jesus, laid his soul, that word life in the Greek is soul, laid down his soul for us. and on behalf of the brothers, we ought to lay down our souls. By this we've known the love of God. By this we perceive the love of God, that He laid down His soul for us. We ought to do the same. If you want the people around you to know the love of God, there's the answer. That's it. Because if you walk up and tell somebody God loves you, and your actions don't match your words at all, and that's just words, you're just used to telling somebody God bless you. How many have ever said God bless you with a mean heart? Oh, I have. I'll be honest, I have. I threw it out there, God bless you. And in my heart was like, in your face. In your face, man. Just, that's it. That's all there is to it. Anybody ever say anything like that? I mean, come on. I'm getting a whole lot of smiles right now. There's a whole lot of people that relate with that. This is it, folks. This is all we got. This is all we got. It's all that I have to offer Jesus is my soul. That's it. That's all I got to offer Him, Ishmael. Lord, this is all I got. I got this stinking, nasty flesh that has all these decrepit thoughts, that has all these wrong emotions and hatred going on in me. All I got is this will that gets me nowhere, and all it does is hurt people. But Lord, this is all I got, and I give it to You. And He's going, yes! Yes! It's what He wants. He came to set me free and save me from me. He came to save you from me. He came to save me from you. He came to save us from us. Hey, anybody get this point yet? Rita, He came to save you from me and from yourself. Yeah, and from Lonnie. I know Lonnie loves you, but Jesus came to save you from her. Praise God. If I can't do that, I got nothing. Back to the very basics of it. There's scripture after scripture that talks about this. It's all over the place. There's a common theme through all of it of just laying down the soul, and we hear it. And I don't want it to just be something you hear from me. When I say it, we got to lay down the soul, I want everybody to understand what that means. It's not easy to do, but here's your prayer life. I mean, if you say, well, I just have a hard time praying, then get a grip. You can't lay it down. If I say, Joe, lay that down to me. Lay that remote down to me. He had to get a grip on it. First thing he had to do, thanks, Joe. First thing he had to do was get a grip on it. You got to get a handle on it. How do you really feel about a situation? And then what we do is, oh, I can't go down like that. I don't want anybody to know that I had that thought running through my head. Don't want anybody to know that, and I don't want God to know that. So I can't pray that way. Yes, you can. Because He already knows what's in your heart anyway. He knows it's there. So get real with God. What's your struggle? What's your fight? What do you struggle with? Who do you think's a hypocrite? Who do you think's fake? Who do you think's mean? Who do you think's nice? All of it. Every single bit of it. Are you willing to lay it down to Jesus? Ishmael, you ever been mad at your mom? You can just kind of give me a wink or anything like that. Never? Yeah. Man, we got some dirty, rotten thoughts that run through our mind, and it's selfish. It is absolutely selfish. But a way has been made for us to overcome that selfishness and to lay it down. This is dying to self. This is just laying it down to Jesus, saying, Lord, I'm tired of this. Lord, I'm going to hand this to You, but I'm warning you, it stinks. This is bad. Give it to Him. And then listen to what He says. What does He say to that? Has anybody in here heard the voice of God? This is a dangerous question right here. How many of you can really say, I hear God talk to me? My heart's desire is that everybody in this place would go, whoo, I hear You. I do. Without a doubt, I hear him talk to me. That's the goal of the whole thing, is to know that you matter and he's speaking to you. That's where that purpose comes from. What's he saying?
He's saying that I have to lay my soul down to him, and that I have to lay down everything that I think that has been done wrong to me. I have to give it to him, and he'll make it right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying to me right now.
Mm-hmm. Linda had a rough week. That's what he wants you to lay down. Yeah. That doctor's report? Mm-hmm. Take it to him.
I have.
Okay? Yeah. Lay it down. Lord, this is what the doctors are saying, but you're the truth. You know? Hand him that doctor's report. And Lord, what do you say to this? What do you say to this? And then just being content and knowing, you know what? He's got it. Now you gave it to him. We say it a lot, and I get the whole thing with saying, God's got it. God's got this. He's only got it if you gave it to him. Okay? Yes, he wants it. And he's saying, come on, bring me your problems. Bring me your burdens. Bring all the stuff. He wants it. But you have to give it to him. It's the only way he's got it. Okay? Got to give it to him. Anybody got any questions, comments, any of this stuff? Because I'm really, this is all I got this morning. And this is the most important thing. And this is like that key. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I
think
that was pretty hard. Well, I just want to say, I have heard the voice of God very few times that I knew for the first time, that I am so thankful that I know God speaks to me every time I come here.
Thank you. Thank you. He what? Yeah, he warns us. This, and as much as this is to encourage, this is a warning. As much as this is to encourage everybody to lay that stuff down, it is a warning just as much. Because if we don't do this, when the battle hits, how many of us are in a battle? Anybody got a battle going on in their life right now? I'm talking, yes, there's those. That's like the training ground. I'll just tell you right now, that's like the training ground. Because if you think that everything in the world is going to be okay and it's going to continue like it did yesterday and today, we're not paying attention. And I'm not talking about watching the news. I'm talking about read your Bible. And there are things in there, and it's called end time stuff. And everybody goes, oh, no, can't be. Oh, yes, it will. And there are warnings in there. And if you look in Revelation 12, verse 11, I think it is, it says, it describes the overcomer, and it just leaps in me because my heart's desire is to be an overcomer and to join myself with a bunch of overcomers. I want to teach people, what does it mean to overcome the accuser of the brethren? What does it mean to overcome and not be driven by the world? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their souls unto death. There it is again, laying down the soul. The blood of the Lamb. Covenant relationship. Do I really understand that covenant that I have by the blood of Jesus Christ? Do I understand from the Father's eyes what covenant is? Do I know that as He's a covenant God, and in that covenant, His promise is to completely provide for me my every need? In that covenant is protection. He will absolutely protect me. Because the truth is, that other person might want to beat my head through the concrete. Right? I mean, that'd be foolishness for me to think that I can just... Maybe it goes both ways. Right? But if I understand that covenant, and I will walk in the Spirit, and I will lay down my soul, I keep myself in that place where anybody that's going to come at me has got to go through Jesus first. I like that covenant. I don't have to fight that battle. And it's an identity. I'm in His name. I'm in Christ. He is in me and I am in Him. I've got no fear there. The enemy can't come against me in that place. The enemy can't just walk through the doors of my house and wreak havoc in my house. Now, if I get in the flesh and allow Him in, maybe. But I know that if my heart is towards God and I'm looking to glorify God in everything that I do and I'm walking this out and growing and being conformed in the image of His Son, then He's got me. It's His name above my door. It's His name on my mailbox. It's His name on my refrigerator. I like that one. Since they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, we've got to understand covenant. They overcome by the word of their testimony. This isn't just saying, I know Jesus. Okay? That's at the last part of it. In that story in Revelation 12, it describes the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by the laying down of their souls, or by the, they love not their souls unto death. And when it gets down to the end of it, it says that the dragon turns and he comes against those who obey the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Two different levels there. Two different things going on there. Okay? There are some that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes, they're going to heaven at the end of their life. But who's going to overcome this life that we live in now? There's a total difference between overcomer, kingdom-minded, and living and partaking of the kingdom of God. Right here, right now, the kingdom of God is at hand, this close, right here. It's in me. It's around me. Or am I just looking to go to heaven at the end of my life? The word of their testimony is that rhema word, that word that Jesus speaks to them in that time of prayer, and they know that they know that they know, like Valanne said, in her memory, it's like there have been specific times where she knew without a doubt the Lord had talked to her, that she had heard Him speak. Nobody can take that away from you. No enemy, no accusation, no nothing can take that away from her. In her heart, Jesus spoke with her. That's the word of her testimony. Okay? And then the laying down of the soul. That's the only way that we overcome. Anybody else? Bruce, did you have something? I saw your phone. I saw your Bible in your hand.
Playing that song this morning, I quote, show me your glory.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see your glory like Moses did. And that left me to thinking about grace and what did Moses and what happened. And this is what it says. Moses said, please show me.
that you say that I laid my soul down. And I broke down. I humbled myself to the Lord during that song.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and then the peace. If you're here this morning and this is like speaking to you and you don't know how to pray this way, then come see me in the office and we'll just grab a pad of paper and we'll write it all down and write down your feelings and I'll pray with you. I mean, it's, you just got to step out there in faith and it's the basics. How do you feel? What's the situation? How do you feel about it? And be honest. And I've heard people cuss before. It's okay. I mean, this is what we fear, is how it makes us feel. This is usually why we don't do this and why we don't pray. It's dangerous praying because we don't, you can be real. You just gotta get real. It's in your heart. Let it out. Get it out there. Experience it. Let it happen. Get it out there on paper and then take it to the Lord. Take it to God. Here it is. This is what makes me mad. If he laughs at you, anybody ever had the Lord laugh at him? I have. What I usually get is, do you feel better now? Are you done yet? I know I'm getting to the end of my rope and I've let it all out there when the Lord says, are you done yet? Okay, I'm done. Then I get it back. Then the peace starts coming. But if I just try to hold it all, oh, I'm in big trouble. Big trouble. All right. I wouldn't call that a fancy message, but
the rest of the picture on that scripture and the cleft of the rock and the laying down of the soul is that when Jesus laid his down for us, that was the cleft in the rock. And the idea is that for us to be cleft as much as he was, because it is a place for others to come and hide, for a place where God can put his hand over you and keep us safe. We're supposed to be that for one another, that cleft.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand and pray this morning. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I feel better now. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace that we can come and just be real with you. I thank you, Lord, that you are that covering. You are that covering of grace, Lord, that I can come and just be real and I can share my heart and I don't have to be afraid of it. I don't have to fear you in it. Lord, I can be real with it and your grace is sufficient, Lord, and you cover me and your heart's desire is to share your soul with me. That I might become the expression of it, Lord. And when I choose to lay down my soul, Lord, it glorifies you. Lord, I thank you for each person in this room today. Lord, I bless them. Lord, I pray that each one of us would learn, that we would just start stepping out there and learning, Lord, how to lay down our soul in every situation that we're confronted with. Lord, this is a harsh world we live in, and you know it, and you're coming to save us from it. Lord, you're coming. You're returning for us. You're returning for a bride that is spotless and without blame. What an expression of grace. Lord, my heart's desire is that we would be a body of overcomers. That we would overcome the accuser of the brethren. That we would overcome the accusations towards one another. That we would overcome. I thank you, Lord. Give you praise this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed day. If you